Any of you guys have reoccurring dreams? Raise your hand if you have reoccurring dreams. Yeah. Lots. They don't make any sense. Mine do. I used to be a respiratory therapist. And as a respiratory therapist, you're responsible for checking on ventilators. They're the things that keep people alive that aren't breathing. And so there are a machine that sits next to the bed that has a tube that goes up into a tube that goes down into the lungs, and it just breathes for them. And so it's really important that it does what it's supposed to do. And I have this reoccurring dream that we're supposed to do hourly checks. Respiratory therapists are supposed to do hourly checks. And at the end of a shift, an eight-hour shift, I realize I haven't done any checks on any of the ventilators. It's one of those freak-out dreams where you go, no! This can't be true. And there's anxiety in it and fear and I'm going to get caught. Do I need to cover it up? How do I do this? How do I fix this problem? And I don't know if you have reoccurring dreams that have fear attached to them, but it's a weird thing because you wake up with this anxiousness about you and it's all from a dream. And it really has no attachment to much of anything. It's not a God dream because, I mean, it isn't. I just know that it isn't, but it's one of those dreams that are attached to fear. Today, we're going to set people free from their partnership with fear. We're going to spend some time at the end, probably the last half an hour, just praying for people and setting people free from fear and disconnecting them from this partnership, this agreement we have with fear. The reality is, fear is like a person that we have a relationship with. And we're going to talk about that a little bit and then spend some time just kind of breaking up with fear. The breakup. So let's talk a little bit about the relationship between Jesus followers and fear. What does the Bible say? Well, first of all, the fear doesn't come from God. Fear doesn't come from God. This is in your notes. If you have notes, this is in there. The scriptures are all in there. Fear doesn't come from God. Faith comes from God. Fear comes from all different sources, from the world, from the enemy, from our own flesh, stirs it up. But fear comes from a lot of different places. And in this nation, fear is kind of at an epidemic. You'll see in the notes that there are songs on the right. I just pulled out three songs that are really popular right now that have to do with fear. And I think that Dwayne mentioned this the other day, that sometimes there's a flow of songs that are released to songwriters that express what God's doing in the earth. And I think that these songs have been released so that we can begin to get set free from fear, because fear really cripples the church. It says that it says in 2 Timothy, Paul writes and says to Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Those are the things that come from God, power and love and self-discipline. Fear comes from another source, from a lot of different sources, but not from God. Fear doesn't come from God. Secondly, fear is a liar. And there's a song here called Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. And just look at the where it's in bold. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He'll rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear into the fire, because fear, he is a liar. This is what the song sounds like, a little bit of it anyway.
When he told you you're not good enough.
Turn it loud so it pierces our soul.
When he told you you're not right. When he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy. When he told you you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful. You'll never be enough. Yeah.
And I think this is what Paul was writing about in Galatians 5, where he said, you're running a race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Fear isn't a liar because he just wants to lie to us. It wants to hold us back from the truth. It wants to keep us from the truth. The truth of God, the reality of the truth of God, is really, really important right now. That's why we're pressing into the Bible, pressing into the Word of God. It's because the truth is really valuable and it's really, really important right now. And he wants to lie to us. The enemy wants to lie to us. Fear wants to lie to us. It wants to tell us something that isn't true. He goes on to say, it certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. So there's a connection between not knowing the truth or being lied to and freedom. Fear has a tendency to lock us up, to keep us on lockdown and not be able to move freely. And a lot of us, most of us struggle with fear. Most of us struggle with fear. That's why we're going to spend some time today trying to break our relationship with it. Another thing that the Word says is don't be afraid. Fear, being the spirit of fear, or fear, that the fear that's a liar, is different than being afraid. And in the Bible, God just says one thing about being afraid. He says, don't be afraid. And it doesn't have anything to do with fear. It has to do with him. If we trust him, if we understand who we are in him, we won't be afraid. The exhortation to fear not fear is found 64 times in the Bible. It says in Isaiah 41, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Not just don't be afraid, because then it becomes performance. It becomes like, God told me I'm not supposed to be afraid, so I'm not going to be afraid. If the presence of God is part of your life, like Nina was describing, if that presence of God is part of who you are, fear has no place to hold on to. It has no place to come in and be part of who we are. There's some scriptures here that talk about what's in that section of scripture, but there's some things that are really important. God never stops being our God. He never abandons us. He strengthens us and he helps us through the things that we need to get through in our day. So we're never alone. When he says, don't be afraid, I'm with you, it's not because he's like hidden away someplace and we have to find him. He's with us all the time. And he's a real strength to those who believe in him. The next thing, it's a God who sets us free from fear. It says in Psalm 34, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. That's what we're going to pray happens today, that he'll free us from all our fears. I'm saying that ahead of time because I think we have a tendency to believe that, well, maybe now's the time I'll get healed. Maybe now's the time I'll get free. I believe that the Lord wants to set us free from fear, but we're also going to pray for this whole community, that the community gets set free from fear. Fear of man is a trap. Once ensnared, the more we struggle, the tighter its hold on us. You know those little Chinese finger torture things? You know, the more harder you pull on them, the tighter they get. Fear's like that. The more you struggle with fear and try to pull yourself away from fear, the more intense the fear gets, doesn't it? The way that you get free from fear is God, not by fighting fear. We're not going to do battle with fear today. We're going to do something completely different because it's a trap. It ensnares us. I love the way the message says it. The fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. The fear of man is like an epidemic in this nation. And the political system stirs up the fear of man. The financial system stirs up the fear of man. I believe the church stirs up the fear of man as well. And it's time for fear to be broken off the church. We don't need to be struggling with it. And we don't need to be struggling with the fear of man. We're going to get set free from that today too. Trusting God breaks us free from our fear. It says in Psalm 56, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mortals do to me? That says it better than anything else. If we trust God, we won't have to worry about any of this stuff. It also knowing who we are in Christ gives a fear no foothold in our life. Look what it says in Romans 8. You have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slaves. In other words, in some of the other translations, it says you've not received the spirit of fear. It's a powerful thing in the life of somebody who is not willing to say no to it, who's not willing to trust God. Fear is a powerful thing. We all know people who struggle with fear to the point that it disables them, that they really can't continue to do life. And I'm not saying that in a condescending way at all. I just think that it needs to be broken off of us. And hopefully you'll be so strengthened today that when you see fear in someone else, out of compassion and gentleness and gratefulness, you'll break it off them too. It's not just about us. We need to be free so we can set other people free. Jonathan Helser, who wrote this song, No Longer Slaves, well, let me just play the song real quick so you'll remember it, because it's...
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me.
Sorry, such an abrupt end, because I just took a piece out because I want to just remember what this sounds like. Jonathan and his wife Melissa have a ministry in the Carolinas called the 18-inch Journey. And it's all about the 18 inches is what the distance between your head and your heart. And they invite people up to come and live with them on this farm for a year. And they devote themselves to going deeper with God up there. And it's this journey to get from head knowledge to our heart. And at graduation, he wrote this song to sing over the students that graduated. Or maybe he did it both in the beginning and the end. I can't remember which. But he sings, that's where this song came from. It's a song that he and his wife sang over their students, breaking fear off of them, setting them free from fear. And these are some of the things. If you ever want, just Google Jonathan David Helser and look at the things that he says, the things that God's revealed to him that aren't just a song, but they're parts of his heart. And listen, this is some of the things he said. Fear grows in any place where I have a distorted view of the Father. The greatest battle we face as sons and daughters of God is identity. This is something the Lord's dialing up right now to the body of Christ. He's causing us to be stirred up in this whole area of identity. And it has more to do with being set free from fear and so that we can be released into freedom than anything else. The key, one of the keys to being set free from fear is to know who you are in Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. And we're going to spend some time in Colossians 1 just walking through the scripture that talks about who he is, how powerful he is, because that's what sets us free from fear. He goes on to say, when we worship, we silence the fear and declare who our Father really is. When we tell him who he is, we remember who we are. So identity is attached to the Father in a powerful way. If we see who he is, if we see the Father, we'll see ourselves in a way that's more accurate, more freeing, more restful, more full of love. I mean, you guys want to love a little bit more in your life? Love other people more? One of the keys to love, do you really want to? That was a pitiful response. Do you want to love people more in your life? Yeah. One of the keys to that is seeing the Father accurately. When you see how much he loved us, how much he loves us, you'll begin to see your ability to love others in a stronger, more powerful way. And it's desperately needed in our community. Desperately needed. There are people right now that you know who want to give their heart to Jesus. And they're just waiting for you. They're just waiting for us to encounter them in a way with boldness to just say, today could be the day. Today is the day. Today's the day that you can walk into the kingdom. And when that begins to happen on a grander and grander scale, we're going to see this whole city changed. It's not going to be changed because we have better churches or better Sunday school programs, or better nurseries, or better buildings. It's going to be changed because we, as the people of God, begin to tell people who they are in Christ and reveal that to them. And it's going to make a significant difference in the world, significant difference in the city. Why is fear so toxic? This is really important. Fear competes directly with every important relationship in our lives, mostly with our relationship with God. If you have a relationship with fear, you have dialogue going on between you and fear. I'm not talking about being afraid, you know, being afraid of something. But if you're struggling with fear, you have a dialogue with fear. Fear has a voice and it talks to you and you talk back. And it's this relationship where it tells you what it wants you to hear. And you can say, you can say, no, I reject that. That's not the way I feel. That's not the way I want to be. But you're still having a dialogue with fear. Even when you're saying no to fear, you're having a dialogue with fear. And the more dialogue we have with fear, the less dialogue we're going to have with God. Because it just takes the place of it. We're having all these conversations with fear that we're supposed to be having with God. It really is a movement away from fear and towards God. It's not just shutting down fear. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. You know what? Fear hasn't really harassed me for weeks now. It's not that at all. It's as we moved closer to Jesus, there's no place for fear to have a foothold in our lives. It's a relationship with us built on dialogue. It's not built upon feelings. It's built upon words. The word of God is what restores us and gives us life and gives us hope. The words that come from fear are the things that shut us down. So we have to stop this dialogue with fear and start having a dialogue with God, and we'll begin to see a shift there. This relationship is built upon lies and deception. Fear will tell you what it wants you to know about yourself. Isn't it interesting, though, that so will God? When we're listening to fear instead of listening to God, that dialogue is causing us to be kept in bondage or put into bondage. We have the ability to have a conversation with God anytime we want, right? But if we're having conversations with fear, they're competing with our conversations with God, and we're listening to lies instead of the truth. And you'll not know what the truth is until you read the Bible. That's where the truth is found. I don't know if this is going to be a shock to you, but the truth isn't found in you. It's found in the Word of God. We can listen to ourselves and still not know the truth. And so you have to be in the Word in some significant way. You know, open your Bible every day, every morning, and just read through it. Start by reading through Proverbs. And see the wisdom you'll gain there. But start someplace. You can't not read the Bible and get free from fear, because there's no truth that you're being exposed to. Hollywood doesn't have the truth. Washington, D.C. doesn't have the truth, you know? The truth is in the Word, and so we have to establish the truth, a place where there's truth being poured into us every day. And the lies and the deception will stop. And the goal of fear is to establish lordship in our lives. It's almost trite. Jesus is the Lord of my life. What does that mean? If he's Lord, he's in charge. If he is Lord, he's not just calling the shots. It isn't about control. Lordship isn't about control. It's about benevolence. God is a benevolent king in our lives. You know that we live in a kingdom, right? We live in a kingdom. Not the United States of America. If we're Christians, we live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom happens to be in the middle of the United States of America, but we live in a kingdom, and our kingdom has a king. And he got to be king because he owns everything. So everything is his. He's the king, and he supplies everything we need. Nobody's better at this than Miles Monroe, who actually grew up in the Bahamas. He's passed away now. He got in a plane crash a couple of years ago. But he's one of the best teachers about the kingdom, and especially he's written a series called Rediscovering the Kingdom, which is all about reintroducing, because we live in a republic. We don't live in a kingdom. Our nation is not a democracy. It's a republic. So we elect representatives to represent us as leaders in this nation. A kingdom doesn't elect representatives. A kingdom has a king. And he is in charge of everything, and he owns everything, and he supplies everything that we need. So when Miles Monroe was growing up in the Bahamas, they were in the United Kingdom, and so England would give them all their health care. They would supply their clothes. They would supply their school. They would supply everything they need. They would give them property to work on and raise families and stuff like that. But the king of England, or in this case, the queen of England, would give them everything they need. I don't think that we get that from our government. And the more the government tries to act like a kingdom and supply the needs of everybody, the more whacked out we get. It's in our hearts to be part of a kingdom, and he's the king. If he's king, he's Lord. If fear wants to be Lord in our lives, he wants to control us. He wants to give us everything. Fear wants to give us what we need. You know, so we'll go to fear and we'll say, I need this job. Well, you probably are not going to get it because you're not good enough. Well, how do I become good enough then? Well, if you probably go back to school and just kind of like, don't worry about your family, just go to school and get all your education, you'll probably have a better job. You mean you want me to spend time away from my family so that I can go to school to get a better job? Do you see where this is going? This dialogue with fear leads us down a path of disconnection from God. Instead, we're part of a kingdom that has a king. God has a job. You know, for those, how many of you need more money right now? You just need more money. Yeah. Yeah. The king can provide that for you. It's not your responsibility to go out and figure out how to get more money. It's your responsibility to let him be Lord of your life. And amazing things will happen. I'm not saying that we're supposed to just sit there and wait for a check to come in the mail, but we're also not supposed to, out of our dialogue with fear, go out and get stuff to replace God in our lives. He wants to be Lord. It's one of the biggest concerns that I have for the body of Christ right now is, who's Lord of your life? Who's calling the shots? Is it you or is it him? Who's providing for you? Who's taking care of you? Where does your emotional support system come from? Where does your dignity and identity come from? It's all supposed to come from him. He's supposed to be Lord of our lives. The other reason fear is so toxic is that it manifests itself as anxiety. And a lot of people are struggling with anxiety. I don't have the numbers, but the number of people who are taking antidepressant and anti-anxiety drugs is really skyrocketing in this nation. And it's because people are struggling with anxiety that can be remedied by being set free from fear. I'm not saying that nobody should be taking these medications. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a reflection of what's going on in the heart of our nation. It's a reflection of what's going on in the heart of man. That we are anxious. We are nervous. We are scared. Anxiety is just a physical manifestation of fear in your life. And if we have a dialogue with fear going on, then the chances of us walking in a great deal of anxiety is really high. You guys all look like deer in the headlights. You look, I'm not trying to scare you. We're going to get free from this stuff. The whole point is we're going to get free from it. God doesn't want us to be fearful, and he certainly doesn't want us to have a relationship with fear. And then there's a couple scriptures that talk about anxiety there. There's a verse that says perfect love casts out fear. What does perfect love look like? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Period. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. That's what Nina was trying to communicate to us today. That was what Patty was singing to us today. That was what God was preaching to us today. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. That's the context of that scripture. Look right before in the last part of verse 17. We will have confidence because we live like Jesus in this world. I want to be free from fear so I can live like Jesus in this world. I want us, the body of Christ, to be free from fear so that we can live like Jesus in this world. And I believe we can. I believe that's not just a dream, but we can really do that. In Isaiah 41, it says, "Do not yield to fear, for I'm always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." All this talk about the throne room today, that's the right hand of God. That's the place of authority, the place of power, the place of that's the place where God's strength is found, at his right hand. He's going to uphold us, infuse us with his strength, and help us in every situation, holding us firmly with his victorious right hand. This is a promise from God. That's what perfect love looks like. It's that relationship with God that causes us to stay connected with him. Dr. Michael Youssef, who many of you have heard, he's a theologian, Bible teacher, he says this, "Faith that conquers fear depends on absolute trust in God." So what we're moving towards is trusting in him, trusting in God more than we're trusting in fear or trusting in ourselves, moving towards that. But when we find that place where we really do trust in God with all of our heart, fear has no place to get a foothold. It's the kind of faith that has an open heart to whatever God provides for us. It's a faith that is manifested as an utter dependence on the sovereignty of God. When we live by faith, we know that even when the storm is at its worst, we can trust God and he's working out all of his purposes for us. I watched an interview with T.D. Jakes and Stephen Furtick the other day, and it's quite long. It's like an hour and a half, but Stephen Furtick, who's a pastor in I think, Atlanta, was interviewing T.D. Jakes. You know who T.D. Jakes is? Many of you don't know where he came from. He was a pastor. He wasn't a pastor. He was a part of a church on the East Coast for 12 years. And what he did as a member of that congregation is he cleaned the carpets and he kept the building clean and he drove the pastor around. And in 12 years, he spoke twice in that church. And all that time he was doing that, he was being prepared for what he does in Dallas right now, which is a mega church pastor. But hardly anybody realizes where he came from. So he did this interview. I was really impacted by it. I picked up his book. It's called Crushing. And it's all about the crushing that happens with grapes to produce wine. It's really a unique look at the difficult times, the pressure-filled times that we go through. So I'm reading the book, I pick it up, I start reading the first chapter. The first chapter, within a paragraph, he says, my 13-year-old daughter came to me and said something that I never thought I'd hear and I never wanted to hear. And she, this is a spoiler alert if you get the book, but it's on the first page, so you're not going to get very far into the book. She gets pregnant at 13. And that was when he was in Dallas and his ministry was thriving. And he was just shocked. He was shocked, and you know, first thing he thought was, "What did I do? How am I? How have I been such a bad parent that I've opened the door for this in my life? What are people going to say? How is this going to affect our ministry?" Besides the fact, this is my 13-year-old daughter who's pregnant, and she has become a pillar in his life. She's become a strength in his life, and he says that he would have never wanted his daughter to go through that. His grandson is an amazing little dude. Not a little dude anymore. He's like an adult now. But what happened through that experience, that crushing experience in her life and in his life, produced powerful, powerful things in the kingdom of God. And so he's just saying that even the most difficult times, I mean, there was another time when later on in his life, he had a son and a daughter, and he was in Lagos, Africa. Nigeria. Yeah, Lagos, Nigeria. He was getting ready to go out and minister to, I don't know, a couple million people. He'd never been there before, never done that before. Was amazed at the crowd of people that was waiting. Right before he was ready to go out, he got a call from his wife, who knew that he was about to do this, and he knew that it was not a good thing. His wife called him and said his son, who was in just around 30, had had a heart attack, and he was in critical condition. and he got on a plane and left and went home. This guy has been through some crushing. He knows what he's talking about. And his whole thing is, we go through difficult times because God does much of the preparation in our lives in obscurity, in places that are dark, in places that are dirty, in places that are not all put together. And so it isn't like if you break your relationship with fear, you break your relationship with every difficult thing that's going to happen in your life. But those are the points when he said fear tried to come into his life and take over. And fear preached at him. You're this, you've done this, it's your fault. If you hadn't gone into ministry, none of this would be happening. You know, the whole idea of, you know, bigger arenas, bigger demons, whatever that thing is, that's not true. The liar comes in and speaks to you about those things and says, this is all because you're following God. If you weren't following God, this wouldn't happen to your daughter, this wouldn't happen to your son. But he said that those things have produced in him a tenaciousness that wants the kingdom of God to thrive and to push forward. And what is produced in T.D. Jakes is he just doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. And I think that that's where the Lord is taking us too. He wants us to trust him at a deeper and deeper level. So he talks a lot about the crushing that leads to new wine. This is what he said. When you pay the price of crushing, the wine you make is beyond compare. Out of the bloodshed and bruising, rising up from the depths of fear and grief, pulling you under, something is growing. You're being crushed right now, but there's something in you that will survive. Let's make wine. So I think part of getting free from fear is not being afraid of difficult situations, because that's where the wine's being produced. That's where the new wine's coming from. I don't think that the body of Christ is in for times where we're riding on clouds. I think we're going to go through difficult times, but there's going to be a grace on us to not just survive those difficult times, but thrive in those difficult times. Look around you right now. This is the environment that he's creating for you to begin to thrive in the days ahead. So if you don't have enough money, like I asked earlier, who needs more money? The Lord is preparing that for you right now. He really is. He's preparing an influx of money for you. He's preparing a mate for you. He's preparing grandkids for you and children. He's preparing those for you right now. He's setting those things in place. Don't shut down what's going on right now just because it's difficult, or think that you need to do something. We need to be free from fear so that we can go through the things that he wants to take us through to prepare us for what he's about to do. It's powerful what's coming. But we're going to look around and go, this can't be God because it's so hard. The reality is, it can be God because it's so hard. Because he's preparing some things now that are going to be powerful in the days ahead. He's preparing us that way. So today we get free. There's a song that's out. It's the goofiest song. It's called the Breakup Song. And it really is kind of poppy, but you look at the words apart from the song, it's right next here. Fear, you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story. I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not, like you know me. Well, guess what? I know who I am. I know I'm strong and I'm free. I've got my own identity. So fear, you'll never be welcome here. The breakup song is with fear. And look at who wrote the song. I mean, Francesca somebody, Battistelli, sang the song, but the guy who wrote, I can only imagine, wrote the song. Bart Millard wrote that song. And so I just play you a clip of it, but the reality is that's what we're going to do next. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to break our relationship, break up our partnership with fear. We're going to break that relationship today. And I don't know how we're going to do it. God didn't tell me how that works. He just said to do it. He just said to leave time today, and we've got like 25 minutes. Leave time because I want to break your partnerships with fear. And he'll probably use more other people than me. Some of you will get words of knowledge. Some of you will get prophetic words. But I guarantee you that the partnership we have with fear is going to be broken today. I'm just going to believe that every single one of us is going to be set free from fear today. So this is the song.
There's no room for you here, yeah, I've had enough. The no vacancy sign on my heart is
the breakup
lit
song.
In case you didn't hear it, here it is again. Oh.
So, fear is not going to be welcome in our lives anymore after today. Fear you don't own me. And I'm not going to have anybody raise your hand, but many of us feel like fear has owned us in our lifetime. Fear has a claim on us because of things we've done, we haven't done, the things that we've said we were going to do and didn't do, because we backed off when we should have pressed on. There's all kinds of reasons why fear has established itself in our life. But today we're saying, fear, you don't own me anymore. You have no claim on me. We're gonna take care of that foothold that fear has in your life. We're going to do that today. And the context for doing that is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. You remember what Helser said. Jonathan Helser said, he said, when we see the Father, we see who we really are. When you see Jesus, you see you. You see yourself. He said that he reflects us back to us. We see the reflection of God in him, but we also see ourselves in him. In fact, it says at the end, when we see him face to face, we're going to see who we really are. And I think many of us are going to be surprised. You think that you're not so powerful. I'll tell you, there's a lot of enemies of hell that don't want you to hear what we're talking about today. They don't want this message to get out because this is going to set us free in ways we've never been free before. It says in verse 15, Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, you see God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That means that he was there before creation. So he isn't created. He was there before creation. He was actually played a hand in creation. And it also means that all of creation is his. It's all his. He owns it all. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. That means not just here in Longview, but he created the globe and everything in it. He created the solar system. He created the Milky Way. He created all those things that are in those black holes that lead somewhere. He knows what's on the other side of them. He created it all. He's the God that loves us. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, like thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So what do we have to be afraid of? He created all this. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. We have nothing to be afraid of. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else and holds all creation together. You know, they're now discovering their scientific evidence. There are things that are holding creation together at a cellular level that completely back this scripture up. Not that it needs to be backed up. Christ is also the head of the church, not the pastor, not the denomination. Christ is the head of the church. The church is bigger than what fits into a building. The church is what he sees when he looks at a geographic area. When he looks at a geographic area and he sees his people, that's the church. He's the head of that church. He's the head over the church in this whole area, this whole geographic area. So when the church begins to rise up, it only has one head. We aren't divided from his standpoint. That's only our division that creates that illusion. We are one. When he looks at us, he sees one people. He's the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he's the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. It's the truth. It's just the truth. It's the truth. That's the truth. So just to create some space for you, just close your eyes so you're not distracted from anything. You were once far away from God. You're not anymore. You were once far away from him, but you're not anymore. You used to be his enemies. And what separated you from him was your thoughts and actions. That's what separated you from God, is your thoughts and actions. Yet, he has now reconciled you. He's brought you back into relationship with himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. What we celebrated last week, the death and resurrection of Jesus, is the power that brought us back together with him. And this is the result. And this is where you are today. This is where you're at right now. He has brought you into his own presence. Right now, you're in his presence. He's brought you into his own presence. And you're holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That's the truth. You're holy and blameless. If you struggle with fear, it's time to break up. It's time to end this relationship. It's time to sever that partnership with fear. And for some people, it's just not easy because it's all they know. Your identity is wrapped up in that. But that's why I read this scripture, because this is where identity really lies, is right here. It lies in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. This is who we are. We've been reconciled because of Jesus' death on the cross. We've been reconciled back to him, and now we're holy and blameless and without a single fault. That's who you are. So I would just invite you to have a conversation now with fear and say no more. I would encourage you to say the words. Don't worry about the people around you. Just whisper really quietly. Fear has great ears. Fear really pays attention to everything we say. But it's important that we use our words to do this. This is not something I want to pray over you. But if you struggle with fear, just tell fear no more. Today, that changes. Today, everything changes. No more conversations. Just tell him, no more conversations with you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want you talking to me anymore. I don't want you talking to me about myself or my friends or my family or anybody else. No more conversations. Today it ends. Any of you ever tried to break up with somebody who didn't want to break up with you? You know, and you just like, you try to figure out all the subtle ways to let this person know that it's not going to happen anymore. And afterwards you think, you tell that to somebody what you did, and they just go, why didn't you just tell them you didn't want to be with them? That's what we do. We try to negotiate with breakups. We try to negotiate out of a breakup. The way you break up with fear is to break up with fear. I don't want you in my life anymore. Whatever advantage I gave to you, whatever advantage I gained from being in relationship with you, I don't want it anymore. I'm willing to go it alone right now. I'm willing to separate myself from you and never be in a relationship with you again. You're all looking at me. This is a conversation between you and fear. So have that conversation right now. Tell fear, I don't want you in my life. I don't want any benefit from you in my life. Whatever I gained from you being in my life before, whatever it did for me, I reject all those things. I don't want them anymore. I'm just saying this to expose the enemy, but the thought that just ran through my mind is, this is so silly. You think these people are really buying this? We all have conversations with fear. We all have conversations with fear. And no, this is not a silly thing. This is real. This is the reality that's happening with us right now. And God is breaking fear off of you right now. He's ending this relationship today with fear. Almost every Sunday, I drive away from this place wishing I would have done something different. And it's fear that's talking to me. No more. No more. No more of that. No more conversations with an entity that doesn't want me to let Jesus be Lord of my life. Just that fact makes me want to reject you wholeheartedly, because you want me to give up my lordship with Jesus and stop letting him be king, and you want to be king, and I say, no way. That's not going to happen. If you think that somebody's got to shout and scream and stand up and get a word of knowledge and pronounce a miracle over your life for you to break up with fear, you're connected to the wrong Savior. Jesus didn't have to raise his voice. Today, we can be free. You're amazing, Lord. You are amazing that you love us the way that you do.
So what I really feel like this moment is sometimes in negotiating or being part of whatever is going on here, that fear at times can be very kind of nebulous and cloudy. There's a certainty of pushing in to what the Word of God says about who you are. Yeah. And then there's moving in the direction of saying, okay, I don't want that part to control my life anymore.
Yeah.
But there are issues involved with that, so somehow it's murky and cloudy. It's not, I mean, so it's, on one level, there's guarantees like, okay, I lay claim to the Word, I'm set free.
Yeah.
While I'm being buffeted. I am being buffeted, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I acknowledge that. Why would I not acknowledge it?
Yeah. So the goal is not to turn and face fear and start fighting with fear. The direction we need to do is move towards God. Yeah. Towards him. Towards trusting in him. Saying yes to him. Believing in him. When you feel fear start to rise up in and around you, the goal isn't to rebuke it in Jesus' name. I mean, you can do that if you want, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to, but it's not a magic potion for getting rid of fear. Fear, the way you get rid of fear is you turn towards God, turn towards Jesus. And then it's a process, and you have to do it all the time, over and over again. It's something we develop as a habit in our life. Turning towards God is a habit. If you just keep doing it, You'll be rejecting fear, moving towards him. The battle isn't with fear. What we do to fear is say no, no more. No more conversations, no more intimidation, no more lies, no more deception, because I'm moving towards the truth. It's really simple, but we complicate it because we've tried everything in the world to get rid of this stuff but the truth. The truth is, everything that we need is inside of us. Jesus exists in us. He dwells in our hearts. Jody, do you want to share something that you've been, because you've been thinking about this all week with me. Has the Lord told you anything about fear? And because she's seen and battled with fear a lot. So has he revealed anything to you? Come on.
Yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to bring up too is sometimes you have fear and anxieties in your life that necessarily somebody did something to you. It's not just you saying yes, you saying no, but you were, as a child or in a relationship, where you were traumatized and you have fear and anxiety from that, and you have trouble getting free from it because it isn't something necessarily that you needed to repent of. It's something that was done to you. And so, but the one thing that the Lord is showing me through, because I had some things happen to me that created a lot of fear in my life and anxiety, and I just kind of tried to push through it, and it never really worked. But as I begin to learn that, as Jesus showed me his love for me and my identity and who I am to him, how precious and lovely I am to him, and I really believe that, and it took a long time to believe that, but as I believe that, when the voice of fear, people pleasing, trying to please man come at me, oh, you know, you're ugly, you're not a good nurse, and you screwed up there, and you can't control it. It's like it's just because I have that love, I can turn and I can hear the Lord say to me, oh, you're my daughter, you don't have to be perfect. You're precious before my eyes. I love you. I'm here for you. And it's that turning away. I used to say, I'll give control to the Lord. It's not even giving control. It's turning away from the accusation of fear and turning into the love of Jesus, where he holds us close. He doesn't want you to be perfect. There are things done to you that he grieves and cries over that causes you to have fears and anxieties that are difficult to manage, but the healing comes through his love. As you look into his beautiful face and you see him love you and adore you, and you hear him say to you, you are my child. I died for you, and I would do it again, because to me, you are the most precious thing on this earth, and I will always stand by you, and I will never leave you and forsake you. And what happened over here is in the past, and now you get to live in my presence.
Good. Come on up, Mike.
In Proverbs 31, you know, it's talking about a woman, but it's men too. But strength and dignity are her clothing. This is verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. So that's not pride or arrogance. So he wants to clothe you in strength and dignity, you men also. And she smiles at the future. He wants us to smile at the future. And everything is out there trying to rob you of that, because do you watch TV? Do you like look around? Like I think that is what you're saying too. You know, do you want strength and dignity? That's a positive and a healthy thing to have. And do you want to smile at the future? I mean, this is God's word. It's saying that, you know.
Let's do this. If you've had something traumatic, you know, that is linked to fear in your life, stand up and let's pray for healing. You have to say what it is, but if there's something traumatic has happened to you, the reason why I'm doing this is because look around. One of the things that happens when we experience something traumatic is we think that we're the only ones. And the reality is, there's twice as many people that have experienced trauma as are standing. Because I've walked with some of you through your trauma that are sitting right now. I mean, you and you've got a lot of healing, but there's a lot of trauma that's happened to us over the years. I got to tell you one thing. Randy Russell's dad passed away, Bill. 24 days before he was 101. Yeah, this guy's been alive forever. It's really cool. A life well lived. Randy went and saw him for the last time last Sunday. The reason why he isn't here because it's hard to get him get up at 9. He can do a noon better. He went over to see his dad at noon and walked into the room, and his dad was smiling at him. First time, he was almost semi-conscious in the last couple weeks. But Bill smiled at him. And then, so this is Easter Sunday. So wherever they were at, I don't know what building they were at, Bill pointed out the window, and there was a bunny outside on Easter. And he had this huge smile on his face. How killer is that? I mean, your dad is awake, smiling, and pointing at the bunny outside the window on Easter Sunday. And Randy talked to him for about 10 minutes, and he died a couple days later. It's just, we get so wrapped up in life isn't the way it should be, and I want everything in my life to change. Those of you who are standing, there was trauma in your life. And the Lord knows that. In fact, he was there when it happened. And his heart for you, his love for you is real right now. And there might be a crack in your heart where that trauma took place. And it's painful. It's still painful even now to remember the trauma. But it's also been a place where fear came in and established a presence there that probably has never left. So today we pray for healing for you. If there's people standing around you, just reach your hand out and pray for them. Pray for healing, restoration. There was a specific trauma that happened in their lives. You don't need to know what it is. But they're the ones who are acknowledging because they're standing right now. Just pray for healing for them. Use your words. There's lots of people that don't have anybody standing next to them. So if you're not standing, being prayed for, just notice that there's people around you and pray for them. Might have to go a couple steps, but pray for healing. Today's the day. We break our partnership with fear. And you get healed at the same time from the trauma that you went through. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Just begin to speak truth over them. Jesus heals. Jesus restores. Jesus gives life. Jesus repairs broken things. That's his heart. He heals broken things. Who's to say that this isn't the most important thing that we've done in the last 27 years is this prayer today. Who's to say if this isn't the most important prayer we've ever prayed, the most important time we've ever had with God? Because today is the day when we get free. Today is the day when healing comes. Today is the day when hope is restored. Today is the day when fear has no more hold on us.
You need to know you were targeted by fear because of the faith that you carry. Amen. And because of the power of your faith that you carry. And the enemy saw that you were able to move mountains because of the faith of God in you. And he wanted to disable you, some of you at very young ages, so that you would not walk in the fullness of that faith that can move the mountains. And today that is broken. Today faith takes its seat, within you, in its rightful place. And so we just welcome the faith of God to arise in every person in this room. We call forth faith of God to arise within this community. And that faith takes its seat in our heart where it belongs.
Yeah. Okay, let's all stand. And get close enough so you're not alone. You should be able to be close enough so you're touching somebody. Grab their hand or put your arm around them. Or yeah.
So as we were in worship today, and Patty led us on this beautiful journey before the throne of God. And there was such a, I don't know, everybody, you know, is, the Lord shows himself to everyone so differently. But one would think, because of where the song was and the words were, that there was this glory all around and, you know, saints, and maybe some saw angels, and they were part of the cloud of witnesses, and they were throwing their crowns before the Lord. But I saw Jesus on this donkey. And he was, the scriptures of him coming into Jerusalem for the last week of Passover. And he was coming in on this donkey. And he had a choice right there. It was like all of a sudden there was this choice. He's coming in the last week. And he had a choice to come in as king before the Jewish people. I mean, like an earthly king, and take charge and take rule of the Romans. But it was like, he knew his mission, and he humbled himself, as in Philippians 2, and made himself a servant. And he was a lamb before the slaughter. It was like all these scriptures just poured out of who he is. And I saw him ride, and he got off his donkey, and the children ran to him. And when she was singing his open arms, they were just running to him. And he was smiling and embracing the children. And there was such a joy, the joy that was set before him for you and for me and for all of them that day. He went and he did what he needed to do. And all I could think, all he was calling, my child, and I was just in this embrace. And I reread Philippians 2. You know, and as much as it describes his humility, there is nothing else that, you know, I don't know everybody here, but most of the people that I've been in this church with for a number of years have known the Lord for a long time. And this call to love, this call to go deeper, this call to embrace Christ, just to embrace Christ, this call to let go of fear, this call to be more like him. You know, this. He starts out by just saying, just, your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand, cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going as far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Now you'd think that would be everything, but what stuck out to me was before. It says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others and in what they're doing. And I think for myself, this is what keeps me. You know, we think it's fear, we think it's this, we think it's that. And, you know, as Nina said, in even those things that have touched us, great tragedy lately, my thoughts, sometimes they keep going back to me, and I get caught up in me, and the Lord, he's just, you know, I just feel like he's just, I know he's saying to me, Colleen, it's so simple. Focus on me. Just focus on me. Just focus on me in the middle of all that you're going through. Just focus on me. When you focus on me, or when you focus on me, we're focusing on others. And you know, when I lay aside my own thoughts, when I lay aside my own wants, when I lay aside my own whatever it is that I'm wanting or needing or thinking I'm needing, you know, your thoughts automatically. It's almost a thing, Pastor, when you're not looking at you. You know, when you're not looking at you. I guess I'm just, in all this, I'm just saying this. We're looking at Jesus. We're just keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. We're just looking that way. And then it becomes easy. It becomes easier to love. It becomes easier to focus on others. We're not getting caught up in ourselves. We're not getting caught up. We're not getting sidetracked. We're not getting distracted.
Amen.
Been thinking about this for the last several minutes. I just can't quite get the words to come out just right, but I'm just going to stumble through it anyway. We read earlier that perfect love casts out fear.
Yep.
God is the very definition of perfect love. The word says God is love. Fear enters in when we doubt that we are the focus of his perfect love. The decision that we make is not one to have a conversation with fear as much as to simply refuse to doubt God's love for you.
Yeah.
I refuse to doubt God's love for me. I refuse that on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, sometimes on a minute by minute basis. But as that doubt rises up that God really does love you, it brings in so much fear. And the choice that we make, sometimes minute by minute, is to refuse to doubt God's love for you in that moment and for every moment of your life.
So this is I want to leave this behind. Fear, you don't own me. And I don't want to address that. I want to move the other direction and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Yeah. Okay. So just before he plays a song, I just want you, these words to come out of your mouth for you to hear yourself say, Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I'm yours. Because it leaves the past behind. Jesus, I'm yours.
Yeah, you're Lord of the dance, you're the dancing Lord. Love I have inside for you, God. You know I want.